So similarly, our love for God should be unconditional love. Not that if I get it, I love you. If I don't, I won't love you. So that is what the essence of this verse is, that one who sees me everywhere, I am never separated from him. So Tvam and Tat. So that me and that God. Now the third one is how me and that God can be together. How practically we can reach God. So that is the last verse. Verse number 31. Sarva bhutasthitam yo maam. Bhajat ye katvam asthitah. Sarvatha vartamanopi. Sayogi mai vartate. Together, sarva bhutasthitam yo maam bhajat ye katvam asthitah sarvatha vartamanopi sayogi mai vartate. So sarva bhutasthitam maam, when he talks about me, Bhagwan, as we said, he's talking about that total Brahman consciousness. Sarva bhutasthitam, I am there in all beings. Sthita means stationed, established. And he, what does the this yogi do? Bhajati. Bhajati means he worships me. Ekatvam asthitah. He worships me as oneness, as one. So he's established in this oneness. And then he worships me. So we'll talk about what is the meaning of worshipping. So he sees oneness in all. Sarvatha vartamanopi. Sarvatha, everywhere vartamanapa. Whatever this person may be doing, sa yogi mai vartate. He is in me. Whatever the job this person is doing, wherever this person is, he may be living in the forest, he may be living in the palace, but what, maybe a doctor, engineer, lawyer, a swami, a teacher, or even a beggar. But if he sees me as oneness in all, then he lives in me. So this, the most important word is bhajati. So what is bhajati? Bhajati wo bhajanam, bhajan karna. So we think it's just like singing bhajans. You know, that is part of it. Singing bhajans is very good, and chanting the name of the Lord. But bhajati does not only mean chanting the name of the Lord or singing bhajans. What it means is doing his service. My every action should be a service of God and constantly remembering God. So singing bhajans is good, but then bringing that knowledge into service. So serving the world as God, that is true bhajan of the Lord. So true remembering the Lord is serving the Lord. So I was listening to a very beautiful example. Like there is a old building, right, which is totally fallen down in bad shape, more than 100-year-old building. Nobody has taken care. And so somebody buys that land, right? And that building, now that building is no use to him because it is old and he wants to break it. So he'll bring this wrecking ball, you know, this huge ball that comes with this machine. It hits the, you know, that building and destroys it. Or he'll bring a bulldozer and destroy the building, flatten it. And then once he'll clean all that, then he brings the material and he creates a brand new building, right? Multi-story building with many floors, and then he can sell all the apartments and make a lot of money. So similarly, you and I have this old building which is full of all kind of dirt and impurity, you know, anger, greed, jealousy, kaam, krodh, mad, lobh, matsarya, you know, all these negativity. So what they say, that take the wrecking ball of knowledge, use this knowledge and destroy the, get the bulldozer of this knowledge and destroy the old Anil, the old Govindji, the old Barbara, that was full of all these negativities, destroy that with this knowledge and then build a new home, build a new you, you know, with all this knowledge. I become a better person. I become more loving. I become more kind. I become more compassionate. So this knowledge is like a wrecking ball that will destroy all your old habits and create new habits. All my negative vasanas will be destroyed and positive tendencies. And then you see the oneness. We have already talked about that. So when such a person, say he goes on a pilgrimage, right? He goes to say all these Char Dham Yatra. Even though God is in all those places, he never loses sight of God is with me. So constantly remembering God in all situations. But that seems to be very difficult. You know, it's very hard for us. So Gurudev gives a very beautiful example. He says, suppose a person is very ill. What you put him in the hospital. 3 weeks he stays in the hospital. He's very, very sick. And so he's getting all the medical treatment and all that. And then finally he recovers. You know, he had infection. So he was wearing a mask and all that. And finally, after 3-4 weeks, he's fully recovered. Then you don't say, oh, you have to stay in the hospital. Then you can go around and do whatever you want. So similarly, you and I at this moment are sick. But when we get this knowledge, then no matter where we go, we will be fine. So whatever job this person may do, and we have so many examples, you know, the Janak Maharaj, he was living in a palace and he was realized, while Buddha was going from door to door begging, you know, but he was equally enlightened. Or some maybe even acting like a madman, you know, or like Mirabai. It's not restricted to one sex, one community, one race. Enlightened people are there in all religions. They are there in all races, all colors. It's not only Brahmins. Even we find so many in our Hindus, so many low caste people became enlightened masters. So it is not the property of one person. In fact, Ved Vyasji, and they said such a person can then work. We have this idea, you know, person who is enlightened becomes useless. He will just stay all day and meditate in the forest. No, Ved Vyasji was an enlightened master. He wrote entire Mahabharata. He wrote the Brahma Sutras. He wrote the Bhagavad Gita. He organized all the Vedas. So much work this one individual could do. And Sri Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, he says, I am the Lord of the three universes. I have nothing to do. But when I have taken avatar as a human being, it is my duty to work. And so he actually, Gurudev in his commentary said, he was sitting in front of Arjuna's chariot. All the arrows could hit him first. And he was driving his chariot like a chauffeur. Even though he was not only Lord of the universe, he was the king of Mathura. It was not that he was an ordinary, but Arjuna said, I want you to be my driver. He said, okay. And at night, he would take the horses. After Arjuna would go to sleep, he would take the horses in the stable, wash them, dress their wounds, and then go to sleep. And he would sleep with the other drivers, with the other chariot. He was not sleeping in any palace. So the point is that whatever job you are doing, if you do it with the right understanding, then even Vedas cannot say anything to this individual because he goes beyond the Vedas. It does not mean that when they say he can do whatever he wants or wherever he wants, it's not that he will do the wrong thing. When he has this understanding, his actions will be always pure. But he works with the right knowledge. So when we say God is in all beings, then why is the difference? Like the chair doesn't talk. If the chair was talking or able to walk, it would have walked out of the class long time ago. It's bada boring, I'm not understanding anything. But the chair is still sitting. So what is the difference between chair and us and the enlightened master? You know, there are three stages. One is a chair or a, you know, table or something. Second is a living being, like a dog, cat, humans, like us. And the third is the enlightened master, who is in a category by himself, no longer is in the same category as us. So in the chair, it is as Sat. You know, they say God is Sat, Chit, Anand. You must have heard that, Sat, Chit, Anand. So Sat means existence. So chair just exists. Chair doesn't think. Chair is existence. So in the chair, God is existence. In you and me and in the dog and cat and all, it is chit. It is mind. We all have a mind, right? We have an evolved mind. Dog or cat may have a less mind. Plant has even less. But even plant has a mind. They also have Chitananand because they know they have to grow towards sunlight. And they have done studies where in plants, where they one plant is kept with beautiful music, other one is kept with harsh noises, and the plant with the good music grows better. So in all of them, all of us, it is Chit. But in the enlightened master, it is Anand. It is bliss. And that bliss is not dependent on objects. For you and me, if I get some food I like, I'm happy, or I get a thing I like, or a job I like, or a person I like. But an enlightened master revels in his own bliss. So there it is, Anand. In you and me, what the joy we get is pleasure, it's happiness. It is not Anand. So Bhagwan is Sat in all the living objects, in the inanimate objects. In us, it is Sat and Chit. And in the enlightened master, it is Sat, Chit and Anand. So that is what I already talked about Janak. And just as an actor, when he is given a role, whether he is given the role as a beggar or as a king, he performs both roles very well. One time he may win an Oscar for doing a beggar's role, next time for a king's role. But inside he knows, I am neither the actor, I am neither the beggar nor the king, I am the actor. Like Shah Rukh Khan, for example, if he's playing a role. So similarly, you and I, whatever role we have been given, we play, but understand that A, I am that divinity and all are that divinity. When I say Aham Brahmasmi, everybody is Brahman. So that universal message is what we get from these three verses. I hope I was able to convey them. It's a little difficult subject. I tried my best with, you know, examples and stories. So we have a few minutes, about 10 minutes. If there's any question, something was not clear.
This may be obvious, but I find myself wondering, you know, whether, you know, as you come up the scale of different beings, if IQ is the same as intellect, like if it's a smarter person, you know, they're going to get there first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have better intellect.
Not, you mean among human beings?
Yeah, like Einstein or Leonardo da Vinci.
No, not necessarily. Rishis. No, not necessarily. Intellect sometimes can become an obstacle. A rishi is different. But an intellect can become an obstacle because then you start thinking too much. On the other hand, a simple person who says, okay, God alone is and totally surrenders himself will reach faster. So it's not a guarantee. Yes, to understand this knowledge, you need an intellect. But to reach God, no. You, even a simple person who is able to see the what God asks for is love and surrender. And the intellect should take you towards love and surrender. But if you get so caught in the intellectual discussions that you forget why I am studying this. I am studying this so that I should understand that my intellect cannot take me there. Intellect, no matter how brilliant, you may be Einstein, you may be a rishi, you may be anybody, Galileo, intellect will not take you there. You have to drop the intellect and go beyond the intellect. Like the staircase will take you to the second floor, but staircase is not the second floor. You have to leave the staircase, then only you can walk around on the second floor. So intellect is right like that staircase. Intellect can take you there, but ultimately you cannot say, I'm holding on to the staircase. I love the staircase because it brought me to the second floor. No. You have to leave the staircase, then you can enjoy the view of the second floor. So the intellect can become an obstacle on the spiritual journey. So one has to be very cautious and not think that because I am more intelligent and somehow I'm more superior to this person and I'm closer to God. That's no guarantee. There was, you know, like this Nisargadatta Maharaj, I've talked about him. He used to make bidis. He used to make handmade cigarettes. And his guru came and told him, you are that. And he said, I am that. He said, yeah, you are that. Guru must have seen something and guru left. And for 2.5 years, as he was making bidis, I am that, I am that. How can I be that? What is that? 2.5 years he realized. He had never went to school, never studied, had no intel. He was a very simple, not even high school graduate. And after he became an enlightened master, if you read his book, I Am That, you can't understand it. The level of talking that he is able to is unbelievable. And he, this person didn't even pass high school. But if you read the book, I Am That, I, at least now I may be able to understand. But a few years back, when I tried to read it, I was lost. Because his so intellect is not a guarantee. Intellect helps to understand, but may not help you to realize. But that's a very good question, very good point. Thank you. One has to be very cautious because intellect can, A, create ego, that I am somehow superior, and that is right away you go away from God. The moment you say, I am something, you are away from Him. You say, I am nothing. In fact, I heard just very recently, he said the greatest, this is a very powerful statement. He says the greatest obstacle between me and God is me. Me is the greatest obstacle between me and God. And that's something we need to think about. That by myself, I am nothing. See, until you come to that understanding, by myself, I am nothing, then and then alone you will reach out to God and say, you are everything. So that I have to make it very clear. I am not able to do anything without God's grace, which is true. You know, can we talk without His grace? Can we think? Can we feel? No, hands can we move? Can the eyes see? No, nothing can do. Nothing is possible. Sorry, a long answer to your short question.
I'm probably overthinking it, but that, you know, the phrase blows my mind. I just don't understand that. And I wrote down, it's like a girl who loves a man for himself, or a man who loves a woman for
herself, not for her father, her wealth.
Not for her wealth.
Right.
So it's not, so you love God not for what He can give to you, not for the suffering that He can take away from you.
You love God for His sake. I want God and God alone.
And so, and then you said, and I get this, you just surrender. I get
yes.
The surrender. I don't know how the two fit together. I don't know how you get to the point where you can love God for
love unconditionally, like in the world. Do you love your child because what they can give you? No, you love them unconditionally. Even tomorrow they are not very good, you still love them. So the ability to love God regardless of what happens, it's and not that I only will love God if I can get this. And if I don't get this, then I don't love God. Of course, when you're suffering, you go pray to Him. There's nothing wrong with prayer. But the highest prayer is, God, I want you. I want you. And that can only happen when that I goes away and you alone remains. That is surrender. That the one who is seeking, the seeker goes away and only the sought remains. That's why I said, no, the greatest obstacle between me and God is me. When I disappear, then God alone remains. So that is surrender. That is surrender. That by myself I am nothing and you only can do it. Because ultimately we cannot get enlightened by ourselves. We can only go up to a particular point and then you wait. And then say, God, this is all I can do. Rest is your job. So that is surrender. The feeling of hopelessness or helplessness. And all saints come to that. If you read the saints, even the Christian saints, they all describe that. There was a lady saint, I forget her name, but in her work, she talks about this extreme despair and extreme, you know, sense of hopelessness and helplessness and anguish, and she's crying, and then finally she reaches us. Like Eckhart Tolle also, he went to an extreme state of total depression. So,
I heard you call it the Black Night of the Soul.
Yes, the Black Night. That's why they say the night is darkest before the dawn. The Black Night, where the soul says, I myself can do nothing. And then they cry out, and then God Himself picks you up. Yeah.
I think you talked about this before. But it always bothers me the idea, okay, so if you see God, everything, everyone in God, and then you see someone in society who you think is really wrong, not, what is, what do you owe society to go out of your way? I mean, I understand if someone's coming along right then you have to make a split second decision as to what you're going to do. But I mean, do you go out and run for office so you can defeat another politician?
Yeah, if somebody is crooked, yeah, you can do whatever you can. You know, if you can stop that person, you can. If not, notify the police if somebody is doing something illegal. And otherwise, if it's not pertaining to me, if somebody is like, you know, beat goes through a red light without stopping, you know, it's okay. Sooner or later, the law will catch him. So you can't become the policeman for the whole world. Yeah, if you can stand for election and defeat the crooked politician, that's wonderful. If not, at least in the next election, don't vote for him. So do what you can to make the world a better place. See, what we can do is we have our corner of the world. And I can only clean my corner. I cannot clean the whole world. So at least where I am, let me make that place clean. See, we can be a lamp. We cannot be the sun. You know, the sun can illumine the whole universe. All I am is a small lamp. That I can, at least in my corner of the neighborhood where I live, make it the world a better place. So do what I can. Ultimately, it is his world and he will take care of it. So that understanding one should have. To get upset about what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening in, you know, some slaves or some women are being raped. You feel bad and you pray for them, of course. Oh God, please take care of them. But if there's nothing I can do, I can't get upset about it. I just pray and, you know, just pray for peace and pray for wisdom, you know, for these people who are torturing and doing bad things. Prayer is a very powerful weapon. So just pray. Just pray to God.
I mean, could the guy that chops off people's heads be enlightened?
Probably not.
You know, we don't do that much.
No, here no, 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 but no. And you mean as a job? Is he doing it as a job?
Yeah, I mean, can he be?
Yeah, if he, like, there was a butcher. No, there was there was a butcher who was an enlightened master. There's a story of, I can tell you some other time. He used to chop meat and he was enlightened. So, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, whatever job, if you're doing it as God's work, you are enlightened. But generally, an enlightened master won't do bad things. He won't do things to hurt others. But whatever, like his, in that butcher's case, his family were butchers, his father, grandfather. So they used to chop meat. So that's what he used to always do. I can tell you the story some other time, maybe next time or whatever. About
an executioner is actually,
huh?
An executioner.
Yes, an executioner, like a judge.
He's,
yeah, he's been given a job to executioner or a judge who condemns people to the death. You know, like the judge who says, okay, you can get the death penalty or not. So he's sending people to death. But he could be an enlightened master because he's not doing it with the favor of, okay, I like this person because he's white, so I won't condemn him, and he's black, I will. So then you are, you know, then you are not enlightened. But if you do whatever job you are, that's what he says. Whatever job he is doing, if he does it with the best of his ability, he is with me. So yogi mai vartate. If he, whatever job he may be doing, if he sees me everywhere, mm-hmm. whether in black, white, whatever, in everybody, he sees me, then he is with me. Yes. So you cannot judge people by their job, but actually, it's very hard to tell who is enlightened. Only an enlightened master will know another enlightened master. You and I, we can't tell, you know, because we judge by external appearances. Somebody wearing orange, having a long beard is more evolved than somebody wearing a suit and tie. It doesn't have to be, you know, there's no connection. I mean, yeah, a person who is devoting full time with wearing orange clothes, has given up the world, is meditating, there's more chance for him to reach enlightenment than a person who is working in an office. But you can't just judge by that. That's why they say the more time you spend in this field, the more you will progress. It's like anything else. You know, the more time you spend in engineering, the better engineer you'll become. The more time you spend in medicine, the better doctor. So same way, giving time will help. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you.